The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This NFL Week 17 Underdog Fantasy Pick'em Entries episode of the NFL Propcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Use promo code SGPN for a 100% deposit match up to $100 for all new users, courtesy of Underdog Fantasy. Again, that's promo code SGPN for a 100% deposit match of up to $100. And we're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today. Welcome everyone to the NFL Propcast, part of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. It is Friday, December the 29th, currently 1:06 on the East Coast. Here to get into our special episode here that we're doing for NFL Week 17. We're going to put together our entries for every single game on the NFL Week 17 Sunday schedule. And of course, I've got my guys here with me, the hacks they are. It's my first man, the king of the motorsports world. It's Rod Villagomez. What's going on, you hack?
I will hear no more overs are for hacks slander. I'm telling you right now, last night's game lent everything to the unders, and all Joe Flacco did was throw for 6,000 yards in the first quarter. So I will hear no more over slander. I'm done. If I want to take overs, I'm going to take overs because damn it, they hit two. So, and by the way, hi everyone. Happy Friday. Happy to be breaking down this slate with you.
Oh boy, what a game it was last night. You know what? This has been happening like consecutive, I think, weeks and the times that we expect all of these prop bets that we gave out on the Thursday night football shows that we do every single week, that they've been going over the game total within like the first quarter or the first half of games. And it almost happened in the first quarter last night where it was what, 21-7 or 20-7 within that first quarter. But hey, that's the NFL for you. But we'll quickly recap our picks here from Thursday Night Football. And we'll just dive right into the Underdog Fantasy stuff, guys. So I had a pretty good night last night. I went 2-0. Amari Cooper, I believe, did not take a snap last night, if I'm not mistaken. You guys can correct me if he did. He did take a snap.
He was out almost immediately.
Okay, because I didn't get a chance to watch the game. So I was checking the box score. I didn't see his name pop up without a target. So I did have Amari Cooper, longest reception to go over 21 and a half. Obviously, didn't play, so that got voided, pushed, whatever you want to call it. And then Trevor Siemian, I had the over 33 and a half pass attempts. I got a little nervous because that number closed at 31 and a half, and Chris, you and I agreed on that one, but he got to 34. That one got to the window for us as well. And then I had David Njoku. He absolutely crushed it in the first quarter for me. So a pretty good night to close out the Thursday night football games this year. Rod, how did your night turn out?
Well, so Flacco under passing yards, like I said, was gone in the first quarter. That was 230 and a half. Hall under 48 and a half rushing yards. He decided he wanted to remember how to rush the ball. And you know, and it's funny because I actually saw a stat that the other day that said that the Jets had not allowed a 300 yard passer in 33 games leading up until Joe Flacco just annihilated them. So again, you can do all the research you want and Joe Flacco happens. So that didn't happen. I had Njoku's longest reception over 18 and a half. Again, that pretty much cashed after the second reception. And then he didn't get in the end zone, though. That was the only thing that kind of frustrated us. And then he didn't get there first, and he definitely didn't get there at all. So, yeah, overall, a horrible night. But again, I'm done taking unders.
You mean you didn't see the streak being broken in your handicap last night of a 300-yard passer not allowed by the Cleveland Browns? Rod, what are you doing with your life? You're a hack. I'm just kidding. You know, it's just one of those nights. You know, it is what it is. But, Chris, how did your night turn out?
It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. I was with you, Munoz, on the over for Trevor Siemian. We talked about the over passing attempt. So that was a little scary, Munoz, because we talked about, like, not possessing the ball, because he only had 14 pass attempts in the first half. So I'm like, oh man, you got to be kidding me. But he did end up getting over. Me and Rod agreed on the under for Breece Hall, and that did not cash because I kind of, just to kind of piggyback on what Rod said, I don't think Rod, he decided he wanted to rush the ball. I think they decided they wanted to give him the ball. Because remember, we talked about him not getting the carries, right? Not that he couldn't rush the ball. They just weren't giving him the ball. So they decided to rush him yesterday. I forgot how many carries he had, but it was more than he had in like the last five games, I want to say. Right. Like, they just really started to run the ball yesterday. And then I was also there on what was the other one? It was Amari Cooper. And so that one was voided. I talked about his over 58 and a half receiving yards, but also I talked about Greg Delay that cashed pretty easily over 5.5 kicking points. And then for anytime touchdowns, we talked about Njoku, who didn't score, but we also talked about that Browns defense, who did score yesterday. So it was a pretty good night overall yesterday.
Yeah, it turned out to be a pretty good night overall for the podcast. And again, unfortunately for us, it is the last Thursday night football game of the year. But again, like I mentioned, we'll be here obviously weekly and then throughout the playoffs as well for our regular show for the NFL Propcast. But hey, today we are doing a very, very special episode courtesy of our friends over at Underdog Fantasy. Again, if you haven't signed up with an account with Underdog Fantasy, I do not know what you are waiting for. Make sure you use our promo code SGPN. Try to do a lot of giveaways as we are going to do throughout the show here. And again, if you do sign up through the weekend with Underdog Fantasy and use our promo code SGPN, tweet at us, slide into our DMs, send us screenshots. We'll get you hooked up with some merchandise. We'll put your name into a special drawing as well for Underdog Fantasy, whether you're going to play with NFL entries, whether it's going to be NBA entries, NHL, college ball, college football, whatever the case might be, anything related to Underdog Fantasy and their pick'em entries, come join us. Chris, myself, and Lante just did an episode for our NBA entries for the Friday night card, so make sure to check that out. But again, here we are for the NFL Week 17 games. And again, got a lot of great guests that are going to join us throughout the show here. We got Minty Betts that's going to join us. Steffi Smalls is going to join us as well. And Bottom Line Bombs host, Man in the Box, CJ Sullivan, is going to join us as well. So, again, make sure you use our promo code SGPN as courtesy of Underdog Fantasy. All right, gentlemen. So what I am going to do now is I will go ahead and share my screen like I did for the NBA show, and I will pull up the Underdog Fantasy site here, and we will rock it that way. So let me change this to NFL. So let's start with the Sunday games here. The first game we want to get into that we're going to talk about is my fault. I forgot about Saturday here. I thought this was on a Sunday, but I forgot we had a Saturday night football game here. All right. So We'll start with the Detroit Lions and the Dallas Cowboys, a standalone Saturday night game that's going to start at 8:15 Eastern time. Rod, lead us off. What do you like for a fantasy projection for this game?
All right. Well, I'm going to go straight to the tight end because I'm an obscure kind of a guy. So I'm going to do that. We'll take the Dallas tight end. We'll take Jake Ferguson. I tell you what, where am I going with this? Yeah, I'm going over. I'm going over his receiving yards. I'm going more than, higher than his receiving yards. 48.5 is what I'm seeing it at. So I like this higher than 48.5 receiving yards. Let's look him up. Little Jake Ferguson.
Let me just search for it. It might be easier that
way. I'll make the case for him while you look him up. So yeah, Jake Ferguson, I'll even take 49.5 as the line. It's going to be tough at 49.5. He has only had 45, 44 in the last couple of weeks, but before that, 72, 77. He's had games of 91 and 77 as well. But really where this is leaning on, these Lions have just been torched lately by, I say torched, but I mean, they've given up their fair share. Hawkinson had 58 against them last week. Unfortunately, none of the Broncos tight ends could get anything done against them, but Cole Kmet, 66 yards against them, and so on and so forth. So they can be had at the tight end position. It'll be tough, but Ferguson's been one of the most targeted receivers there for, or pass catchers for Dallas over the last few weeks. In fact, he's been second to CeeDee Lamb in the last couple of weeks. So I think a path to getting him 50 receiving yards is well within the realm of possibility. So give me higher than 49.5 receiving yards for Jake Ferguson.
Love it. Jake Ferguson has been one of my guys as well throughout this season. And it's funny, Rod, that you mentioned him, because we take a look at earlier in the season where this projection for Jake Ferguson was around like 26.5, 27.5, 28.5. And now, you know, now that projection has been adjusted for Jake Ferguson. Now it's up to 49.5. So definitely do like Jake Ferguson. He's been quite fond of my pocketbook. So I should be sending him at least a Christmas card or something. So we'll start Saturday Night Football. Lions, Cowboys, Jake Ferguson, higher 49.5 receiving yards. Chris, what do you like for this game between the Lions and the Cowboys?
So this one, I guess it's a little correlated as well. I'm liking Tony Pollard to go under his rush attempts. This is something that I've been targeting throughout the season, right? When we play against the Detroit Lions, we're looking for opponents to go under their rushing yards or under their rush attempts, because the Lions defense is really that good. So back-to-back weeks, he's actually rushed four fewer than 16 rush attempts. Like I said, kind of looking at Detroit's rush defense, they've held opponents to 3.7 yards per attempt, which is the fourth best in the league, 24 attempts per game. So teams just aren't rushing the ball, which is the sixth best in the league. And they're giving up just 90 yards on the ground, which is fourth best in the league. It's been since week 11. So we got to go back a while since Khalil Herbert actually ran the ball more than 16 times versus this defense. So I think Detroit, they try to take, try to make Dak one-dimensional and make that offense one-dimensional and really just kind of pin their ears back so they can rush them. We know Detroit has a really good pass rush. So I think they take Tony Pollard out of it. He doesn't run the ball 16 times and, try to make Dak beat him, make him kind of make some mistakes. So give me Tony Pollard in this spot under his 15.5 rush attempts.
Yeah, that number I believe is at 14.5 here. So a little bit of adjustment here for Tony Pollard.
Take the under there too.
Tony Pollard has been, I think, in the fantasy community up there as one of the biggest disappointments, because there was a lot of hype coming around him this season for him to be that guy for this backfield of the Dallas Cowboys. So, I like this call here. Tony Pollard lower on his projection of 14.5 rush attempts here for this Saturday Night Football game. Which leads me to having to pick someone from the Lions side here. And I think I got to go with Amarante Brown, man. He's just been that guy this season for the Detroit Lions. I also did consider Sam Laporta on his yardage to go higher, but Amarante Brown, I don't hate either one of his either receiving yards or his receptions to go higher. because he's just been that target machine for this team. And again, I feel like this is going to take game. This game is probably going to turn into a shootout because Dallas at home, we know that the points that they do put up. And also for the Detroit Lions, you know, a lot of people may be saying it's a flat spot for them, that they're coming off clinching the division in about 30 some odd years and celebratory, but there's still the contention for that number one seed in the NFC. And I think that, again, they'll still be focused for this game here as well. I know, you know, the Niners took a loss against the Ravens last week, but that opened up the door slightly for the Lions. And I know a lot of things have to go that way for them to get that number one seed. But I think that, you know, being the head coach that Dan Campbell is, that he's going to get these guys focused to play in this game in Dallas here, or I should say Arlington, against the Dallas Cowboys here. So, again, I think the resume speaks for Amon-Ra St. Brown himself. I mean, he's a target machine. He's a receptions machine. Last 3 weeks, he had at least 8 targets. Last 2 weeks, 9 targets, 14 targets, 7 receptions, and 12 receptions over the last 2 weeks. And I'm not a believer in this Dallas defense at all. You know, a lot of their front seven led by Michael Parsons has been great. But that secondary, I'm not a believer in. So I think that this will be a big week here for Amon-Ra St. Brown. So I will take the higher. Let's go with his receptions higher for this game. So I will go 6.5 receptions higher. So that we'll put that in as a $10 entry here for this game, for the Saturday Night Football game. So Jake Ferguson higher, 49.5 receiving yards. Tony Pollard lower, 14.5 rushing attempts. And then Amon-Ra St. Brown higher, 6.5 receptions for the Saturday Night Football game between the Lions and the Cowboys. All right, guys, let's get over to the next game on the Sunday schedule. We'll go over to, let's go to the Dolphins and the Baltimore Ravens. A big game here between these two teams fighting for seeding in the AFC playoff picture in contention for number one seeds. And Miami trying to hold on to that division lead, trying to starve off the Buffalo Bills here. So, Chris, why don't you lead us off? Anything for the Dolphins and the Ravens here?
Yeah, this one might be a little bit contrarian, but I actually like Gus Edwards in this spot over his rushing yards. See what number you can find me up. It's all over the place.
39.5 is what I see.
39.5 is what I see as well as the lowest number. So that's great because I see it up to 42.5 on other spots. So I like Gus Edwards in this spot. I'm looking at this Dolphins rush defense, and they've been pretty good. Don't get it twisted. And that's why it's a tad bit contrarian against the rush this season. They're only giving up 3.7 yards per carry, which is 6. Only 24 rush attempts per game as well, which is 6. And they only giving up 91 rushing yards, which is 5th. However, Gus Edwards isn't, if you go back and look at his last game, he's not going to be the best. I mean, he was playing in San Francisco, where nobody typically has too good of a rushing game. He's also coming off a game against Jacksonville. So 2 back-to-back games for Gus Edwards where he's played against top 5 rush defenses, because Jacksonville rush defense is also pretty elite also. So he was able to get 58 yards in that game. And for me, I just think about Harbaugh, and I think about Baltimore is going to run the ball. That we know that they're going to run the ball. You want to keep Tua off the field. And I think that Gus Edwards is going to get the opportunities in this spot. With this number being this low at 38.5, I mean, it's not like he's going to be playing in snow. He's going to be playing in Miami. I would only be able to take the over here on Gus Edwards. I think that, you know, going through and kind of looking at the carries, they have been down recently. Four weeks ago, he only ran the ball 8 times. And then 3 weeks ago, he only ran the ball 6 times against the Rams. But outside of those, the last 2 weeks, he has 25 carries. So I do think that, you know, he's been kind of getting back into that form. And I think here in this game, we know that the recipe for success is to kind of you want to keep that Miami's offense off the field, because it is pretty elite. And I think Gus Edwards, plays a big part in that. So give me Gus Edwards in this spot to go over. What did you say the number was? 39.5.
Yeah.
Rushing yards. Yeah. I just need him to get 40.
All right. Yeah. I love it, man. It definitely seems like a conservative number, especially with all the injuries that they have had in the backfield for the Baltimore Ravens. So our first entry here for the game between the Ravens and the Dolphins, it's going to be Gus Edwards higher, 39.5 rushing yards. Rod, what do you got for this game?
All right. Well, let's go with this backfield mate, Justice Hill, right there. You just had him
Yep.
I'm going to take his rushing yards, but I'm going to go lower. So then if Gus Edwards is going to go ahead and get higher than 39 and a half, I think that means that Justice Hill is going to take a step back in this one. And even if you look at his last few games anyways, right, 10 carries, 26 yards against the Niners. But again, like you said, that's the Niners defense, and it was pretty tough to gain yards against him. 5 carries, 23 against Jacksonville. No carries against the Rams, 5 for 31 against the Chargers, 1 carry for 1 yard against the Bengals, 2 for 7 against the... So again, we know Lamar, we know Gus. Those are the two major running pillars in that offense. Justice Hill gets sprinkled in. So for this to be almost 30 yards, for this number to be almost 30 yards, I feel like that's way too high. So give me Justice Hill lower than 29 and a half rushing yards for this game.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's correlated, right? That, you know, Chris likes. I think that obviously we also take a look at Gus Edwards getting, I think, the bulk of the carries for the Baltimore Ravens rush defense. Rushing attack. And then that just leads Justice Hill to not maybe get many carries or even snap counts as well for the Baltimore Ravens. So definitely do like this. Also, we talked about this rushing attack for the Baltimore Ravens. Let's not forget about Lamar either, right? Because he's been playing real well as far as, you know, rushing the football, not only this season, but obviously all throughout his career. I'm going to keep this one simple. Jalen Waddle is going to be injured in this game. I think he's trending towards not playing here. I'm just going to take Tyreek Hill. I'm going to go higher on his 94 receiving yards. And also, he's also been dealing with an ankle injury as well. But we saw what Jalen Waddle did in the game without Tyreek Hill, I think, a few weeks back, and he went off in that game for 100-plus receiving yards. And I think it's almost the same thing here, that Tyreek Hill, number one, will get the targets. And again, for a guy like Tyreek Hill, it probably only takes 3 or 4 catches for him to get over, get higher than this number of 94 and a half receiving yards. So I think this might be another game that may be a low-key, higher-scoring game. But I think that the offensive success is going to have to be with Tyreek Hill here. So I'm going to take the higher 94 and a half receiving yards for Tyreek Hill. And that will be our entry for the game between the Ravens and the Dolphins. So just to recap this one, we'll go Gus Edwards, higher 39 and a half rushing yards. We'll go Justice Hill, lower 29 and a half rushing yards. And then we will go Tyreek Hill, 94 and a half receiving yards. We'll go higher on that. And that'll be our entry there. We're $10 entry will get us a $60 entry. And joining us now is going to be a great friend of the network. She's been on plenty of my pods across the MLB pod, the MLB pod when we've done season previews, NFL division previews as well. It's Minty Betts. Minty, what's going on? How are you doing this Friday afternoon?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, Munaf.
Of course. Thanks for joining us. Yeah, like we said, we're going to go through almost every single game here on the Sunday schedule, put together our underdog fantasy entries. And Minty is going to get us into the Seahawks and the Steelers game. But Minty, before I actually get into the entries here, I know you're obviously in Vegas and in a Raiders fan, but I think we talk about this every single year, is that this Raiders team, for whatever reason, has struggled. But I think the future for this Raiders team is brighter, because I think if they absolutely fuck this up and they don't hire Antonio Pierce as their head coach, I will pull my hair out. But kind of want to get your thoughts overall, maybe for the NFL season, and how are you feeling about the Raiders this year and going into the future?
Going into the future, if the Raiders make the right decision and hire Antonio Pierce, which I'm like very on brand with the Raiders, I don't know if that's going to happen. It's just such a mystery. But if they go the correct route and hire Antonio Pierce, I think the future is pretty bright. But again, I really don't know if we'll see much difference in the next several seasons. Again, I mean, the Chiefs are such a powerhouse. The Chargers, people always just are such fans of the Chargers, and they are like up and down here. They seem to be doing well without Staley. But as for the Raiders, I just think it's a cursed team. So I just, you know, being a Raiders fan or any fan of a team like the Raiders, you just have to have low expectations here.
Yeah,
you know, and as from Oakland too, I obviously being a California guy, the Oakland Raiders were huge. And then of course, you know, moved to LA, everybody, and then moved back to Oakland. I have so many family members that are still Raiders fans to this day. And they never seem happy ever to watch their team play.
Yeah, they don't seem happy, but they're like, down to party. Okay. They're down to just like get dressed up and just like forget about the day by drinking the day away, you know? So that, I mean, that's, I would, yeah. Raiders fans.
All right, let's get into the Steelers and the Seahawks game. Obviously, implications for both teams here as they are in their playoff picture in their respective conferences, right? Obviously, the Pittsburgh Steelers being in the AFC and the Seattle Seahawks being in the NFC. Obviously, the division is out of the picture for both of these teams, respectively, in their divisions. The Ravens and the Browns running away with the AFC North. Then obviously the 49ers have already clinched the NFC West here. But again, both teams still fighting for a playoff spot, at least in the wild card positions for their respective conferences. So a big game here in Seattle. We'll put together our Underdog Fantasy entry here, courtesy of Minty, and we'll get Chris and Rod's as I mean, Mize, if we have some for these as well. But Minty, lead us off. What are you looking at for this Steelers and Seahawks matchup?
Okay, starting on the Seahawks side. We're going DK Metcalf. His receiving yards is set at 61.5, I believe. I'm going higher. DK Metcalf obviously is one of the more targeted receivers in Seattle. And Metcalf's numbers have been a little inconsistent lately, but Pittsburgh is bottom seven in yards allowed by opposing wide receivers. So I'm feeling good about higher than 61.5 receiving yards for DK Metcalf. And also, like, the last 2 weeks of the NFL are always so, I want to say, random and high scoring. So I'm just going higher on all these props here. Another prop I have is going to be Najee Harris, higher than 54.5 rushing yards. I think this is a really tricky number because in his last five games, he's averaged around a little over 60 rushing yards a game. Granted, those were against some of the worst rushing defenses in the league, Cincinnati, Indianapolis, Arizona. But guess what? Seattle doesn't have a very solid defense against the run either. Seahawks are 22nd in the NFL when it comes to yards allowed by running backs, and they allow the ninth most yards per carry. So we're going Najee Harris, higher than 54.5 rushing yards as my props for the Seahawks-Steelers game.
Najee Harris is frozen right now, but what I am going to do is I'm going to write this down because we will hopefully by the time our show wraps up, we will be able to put that entry in. But going back to DK, I mean, you have no argument for me because we've talked about this a lot on the PropCast is his longest completions this season, or sorry, his longest receptions have been such a cash cow. And I see, you know, Chris has been smiling about this when we talk about DK Metcalf because he's just such a monster. And again, not, I don't want to say he's Tyreek Hill-esque, but he only takes maybe 4 to 5 receptions to get a higher on his projection. And again, obviously we're on the right side of this year because this number has gone from 61.5 now up to 63.5 receiving yards. And I still like this all the way up to 70. And he talked about Najee Harris as well, right? Again, he struggled for early part of the year, but I think the pure matchup here for the Seattle Seahawks or him going up against the Seahawks where their rush defense has struggled. No, early on in the season, kind of stayed consistently bad. Despite on who does get the start here for the Steelers, I think it's still kind of up in the air. But to protect these quarterbacks that have not been very good, you got to rely on that running game. And Najee Harris had a great game last week. I think that can carry over into this game against Seattle. I know he's been splitting shares with Jaylen Warren as well in the backfield for the Steelers. But, you know, we've talked about Jaylen Warren a lot. At least I have on the PropCast that he's been great for them. Catching the ball out of the backfield where I think the running attack has really been led by Najee Harris. So I like both of these here. Rod, anything else you want to add for either one of these players or if you have another entry you want to add for this game?
I do. As somebody who watched Christian McCaffrey go off for like over 200 and some odd 50 yards in two games against Seattle, I know their run defense is suspect. So give me all the Najee Harris. I like that. I also like Noah Fant in this one. Oh, Minty, yeah.
Oh, no, I'm just saying, yeah, the Najee Harris that you're on it with me.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, for sure. No, I also like Noah Fant. Actually, his number is set at 18.5. Go ahead and give me higher than 18.5 on this one for Noah Fant. He's actually been sort of kind of that outside guy for Geno and for Drew Lock. And in his last few games, it hasn't necessarily been there for him. I mean, he's only had, what, 3 catches for 16 yards, but that was what 2-3 yards shy of this number. But before that, 2 catches, 35, 3 catches, 43, 2 catches, 25. When he gets it done, he gets it done, and he doesn't need a lot of receptions to do it too, right? A long of 26, 15, 16. So for Noah Fant, I feel like they're going to need to be giving him the ball to stay relevant. So I like Noah Fant in this spot. And 18 and a half is such a low number that, like Minty said, sometimes you just get those wacky, crazy, high scoring, high flying games. And again, with Noah Fant, it only takes three catches for him to get above this. So I like Noah Fant higher than 18 and a half.
Love it. So we'll add him in as an entry there, which needs, again, unfortunately right now, Najee Harris, for whatever reason, is frozen. But Chris, you have anything for this game between the Seahawks and the Steelers? Hopefully on the Steelers side.
No, not at all. I think I would look towards Najee as well. I think Najee's in a really good spot. And never, like you talked about, you know, never can talk anybody off playing DK Metcalf. I think both of these, more so DK Metcalf, he has that big playability. You go through and just look at his long receptions throughout the season. I mean, this dude has I want to say like 6 or 7 plus receptions of 40 plus yards. So, you know, if we're thinking that, you know, he has potential to get one of those big plays, he could, you know, this is something that he could do yard wise in a half versus, you know, necessarily being the whole game. So it could be a little less sweat free as well, is what I add.
100%. I'll add here for the Steelers side once we do get Najee unlocked here, hopefully soon. But Jalen Warren, I mentioned it. He's just been an absolute monster for the back, coming out of the backfield, catching the football for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And if we take a look over the last 3 weeks, he's had at least 5 targets in 3 straight weeks for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and also has at least 4 receptions in 3 straight weeks for the Steelers as well. And also he's gone over this, higher than this projection of 24 and a half in 3 straight weeks as well. He had 29 against the Patriots, 28 against the Colts. And then last week in that divisional matchup against the Cincinnati Bengals, he had 30 receiving yards in that game as well. And I know early on in the season, he was crushing this projection as well. And it seems like I think they figured out on offense that let's get Najee the football through the ground. Let's also get Jalen Warren the ball through the air. And he's been very effective of what he's been able to do catching the football. So I will go with Jalen Warren, higher 24 and a half receiving yards. I am going to save this entry here because once Najee does get unlocked here on Underdog Fantasy, we'll put that entry in for the the Steelers and the Seahawks game. So I will keep that queued up. Minty, before I let you get out of here, one maybe best or favorite projection that you do like courtesy of Underdog Fantasy for the Week 17 schedule.
Yes, I am going with the most popular NFL player in the world, Travis Kelce. We see his reception set at 6, I believe. I'm going higher than that. Now, the Bengals are allowing an average of a little over 6 receptions to opposing tight ends. And we know Travis has been a little inconsistent lately, and we're not blaming Taylor for this, okay? No Taylor slander on this prop cast here. The Chiefs are in a funk, and Kelce has recorded less than 6 catches against the Bengals in each of his last 2 meetings against them. But every time I underestimate Travis Kelce and go lower than his set prop, he ends up recording like 10 catches. So we're just going to go higher than 6 receptions against the Bengals.
Feels like a buy low spot for Travis Kelce, right? Just because he's really been struggling over the past several weeks. And I think that when the Chiefs really do need to get a victory and Patrick Mahomes is tired of throwing the football so the guys aren't catching it, he can go back to his reliable guy in Travis Kelce here. So I know you said no slander about Taylor Swift, so I'll save that after I let you get out of here. But we're gonna save Travis Kelce for the when we do our favorite projections at the end of the episode. So I will, Minty, I'm gonna put you down for Travis Kelce higher on his receptions in this game against the Cincinnati Bengals. Minty, before I let you get out of here, let our wonderful listeners know where they can find you.
Yeah, find me on Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram at Minty Betts. And also when UFC resumes again, find me on ESPN Plus, giving out my picks for UFC.
Yep, 100%. Again, make sure to follow Minty on X or Twitter. I still call it Twitter, whatever you want me to call it. But TikTok, Instagram, she's all over the place. Great friend of the network. And again, make sure to check out all of her work as well. Minty, thank you so much for taking the time out. And okay, I will be in touch with you as usual. But thank you so much. Have a great weekend and Happy New Year to you and yours.
Thanks, guys. Happy New Year.
Bye, Minty.
Bye.
All right, guys, let's get over to we're waiting for two more guests here. But again, this is a great reminder. Jay Mark in there telling me to let the people know that if they sign up for Underdog Fantasy and deposit using promo code SGPN, send old fashioned FB on X a screenshot, and he's gonna scoop his Reaper salsa into a bowl and drink it. So he's feeling bold. So we may not hear from Jay Mark after the new year, maybe for a couple of weeks, because he's having some stomach problems and his ass is burning. Yeah, if you want to see that get done, make sure deposit into Underdog Fantasy. If you're a new account user, make sure you use our promo code SGPN and send a screenshot of that on X, the old fashioned FB. And he's going to, he'll add a scoop of his Reaper salsa to a bowl. I might have to reach out to him and get me some of that salsa, because I'm a guy that loves spicy food. And so I'll have to connect with him off air. But yeah, so that's where we are. Again, a good reminder, SGPN. Make sure you use that promo code on Underdog Fantasy. Rod, you were saying something. I'm sorry if I cut you off.
Oh, no. I was just saying Justin taking the Scorchers to a whole new level. That's for sure.
Hey, a man of he's a company man. What can we say about Jay Mark there? Again, if you haven't already, also checked out Jay Mark and his better half Miranda on the old fashioned football. They do a lot of great work. Their fantasy football, whiskey. If you're into whiskey, it's a lot of great stuff as well. So again, check them out. Old fashioned football. Hey, look, our next guest is here as well. I'm going to bring her up. It is Miss Steffi Smalls. Hello. Steffi, how is it going, my friend?
How's it going? Happy Friday, everyone.
Happy Friday. Good to see you again, Steffi.
I know. It's actually been too long, I think.
I feel the same.
It has been too long. It has definitely been too long. Hey, stay tuned. I think with a couple hours here, I will be on Steffi's show as usual on Fridays to give out my player props on her show. But hey, I had to get her on to our show here on the podcast. And Steffi, look, I know I don't want to dig the knife any deeper into your back or into your heart, but the Giants, talk to me about your Giants.
They looked somewhat impressive last week. We're going to do a little bit of positivity here. But things aren't great for the New York Giants right now. I am glad that we're going to see Tyrod. I think that is the right choice. I understand. Yes. I had enough of the DeVito, so I'm glad I don't have to. At least the last two games, let me be in peace while I watch the Giants not play good football, you know?
Yeah, look, hey, we got the Giants. They are going to be at home this Sunday. They are hosting the red hot Los Angeles Rams in this game. And I'll let you kick it off here. What are we looking at here for this game as we put together our entry on Underdog Fantasy between the Rams and the Giants?
Yeah, right off the bat, we're going to go to Matt Stafford to go over 1.5 passing touchdowns. In the last 5 weeks, my guy Stafford has had more passing touchdowns than the Giants have had all season. So I'm not worried about it here. Last week, Hurts only had one, but they let Carr throw three on them. He's had 14 passing touchdowns in the last 5 weeks. I don't know if I have to say much more. The secondary, while there's some bright points, not looking fantastic. So I like Stafford to go over that 1.5 passing touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, he's been an absolute monster over the past several weeks for the Rams and the success that they had. And I know they had an opportunity a few weeks back to win that game against the Ravens. Unfortunately, fell short in overtime, but this team, healthy with Puka Nacua, he's having a great rookie year. Obviously, Cooper Kupp there as well. Kyren Williams, another guy that has absolutely flourished. And that's been one of the weaker points that for this Rams team, is that they've really tried to find a solution at that running back position. I think Kyren Williams has finally been the answer for this team. But Matthew Stafford, I mean, he's just playing at a whole other level right now. So right now, Underdog, I only see that they have his passing yards and interception. So I think throughout the day when they start adding more these projections available, we'll put that in as an entry for Matthew Stafford on his passing touchdowns. Where do you want to go next here, Steffi?
We'll be a little positive about the Giants here. Got nothing to lose. They drafted a rookie wide receiver in Jalen Hyatt. I'm not sure what underdog has it at. I know it's out on the market at 21.5 receiving yards.
Yep.
Very aggravating season for some Giants fans with Jalin Hyatt, probably because they thought they were being promised OBJ. That's not necessarily what you're getting here with Jalin Hyatt. But with Tyrod, you look at the games that he had, 21 yards in one of them, 75 in another, 9 targets, 5 receptions. There's no better time than right now to get your rookie involved. So I think 21.5 receiving yards, I kind of like it there. I think that he goes over this number, gets a little bit involved. Again, the Giants aren't fighting for anything here. So figure out what you have before you go into the draft.
Yeah, I know there was a lot of hype around him and what he was doing in training camp and in mini camp for the Giants. And again, I'm not going to fault him because, again, there's been a quarterback carousel with your team, right? Obviously going from Daniel Jones, DeVito, and Tyrod Taylor getting injured, but now he's back. So I think this might be a good buy low opportunity for a guy like Jalin Hyatt to get over this projection of 21.5. And especially with how well the offense has been playing for the Rams, that they are going to be putting up points in this game and that they're only going to have to match it are the Giants if they want to stay, not only to upset the Rams here, but also kind of stay within the number and, you know, match them score for score. So I think that these opportunity for the wide receivers here it's going to be, I think the opportunity is going to be there, especially for a guy like Jalin Hyatt, with his number is at 21.5. Rod, did you have any thoughts on either Stafford and or Jalin Hyatt here before we continue with our entry?
I think I'm contractually obligated to not say anything nice about the Rams, but I will say that Stafford, for sure, that dude, when he turns it on, he turns it on. And, yeah. And he has the weapons to be able to throw many, many touchdowns between Higbee, between Kupp, between Nacua, and even to Kyren Williams. So I definitely like the higher than 1.5 here. But I've also got one as well. I'll go Tyrod Taylor. Yeah. I like his rushing yards, actually. Yes. His rushing yards is set at 23.5. So give me the higher than on that one. Remember, I'm not being bullied into taking the lowers anymore. I'm taking all hires because I feel like it. But for Tyrod, look, he was only a couple of yards short of this against the Eagles, right? He didn't have any when he played against the Saints, but rushing yards of 33, 25, 24 in those three games where he played a substantial amount of time. The announcers love to tell you how much Tyrod can use his legs. And so I think they're going to need to. He'll probably have to escape Aaron Donald a couple of times. So give me that as well. But yeah, I think 24 yards is very doable for Tyrod Taylor. And he just loves to pull it down. You know, that's one thing that his first instinct is, all right, nobody's open. And Steffi, how many times are Giants receivers open in a given game?
Yeah, it's not much. The thing is, when Tyrod takes off, I feel like, I don't know what the exact percentage is, but probably like 40% of the time he ends up getting hurt. So I just hope that's not the case. Like the amount of times I've watched Tyrod take off and then it ends in him not being active for a couple weeks is painful.
It's funny because as soon as I saw Tyrod Taylor being announced as the starting quarterback for the Giants, I immediately messaged Steffi and I was like, oh, rushing yards for Tyrod Taylor. We're going to be on this. So I'm glad, Rod, you mentioned Tyrod Taylor here. Chris, did you have any thoughts on Tyrod Taylor or Jalin Hyatt here before we get to another entry here for this Rams and Giants game?
Nah, not at all. But I will say Stafford is definitely the play here. I would even potentially alt Stafford to 3 passing touchdowns. Yeah. We were talking about him last week on the podcast. You know,
yeah.
Like you said, and Stephanie mentioned as well, just really, really hot right now. This offense is plenty of weapons, and Steph is clicking on all cylinders right now, as we kind of expected them to start the season, but it took a while. They're hitting the ground running right now towards the end of the season for sure.
All right, Steffi, any more for this game between the Rams and the Giants?
Yeah, I didn't peek on underdog, but I think staying with Tyrod Taylor, this guy's playing for a contract somewhere else. He most likely will not be back with the Giants. So his passing yards right now is sitting at 195.5. He went over this 2 of 3 of the games he played this season. The two that he started, 200 yards versus Buffalo, 279 versus Washington. I think there's this weird revenge type angle where Tyrod kind of deserved to win that Buffalo game. I don't like to blame the refs, but I think Tyrod is going to come out. He's going out there to ball, get a contract. So I'm okay with taking his pass attempts over or his passing yards over. But I think that we see Tyrod, you know, again, the Rams are going to get up on the Giants, and they're going to end up playing from behind, and you're going to see a lot of this kind of garbage time stuff from Tyrod. So I like him to go over the passing yards. I think that, you know, a little bit low there for him because we know he can go over that.
So if I put a gun to your head, which one do you like more, the rushing yards to him to go higher or the passing yards to go higher stuff?
Rushing yards, of course.
All right. So, yeah, we'll keep it there at the rushing yards. But I'm actually going to write down his passing yards as well, because you brought up a great point about, number one, you know, I guess the revenge factor, but also him also like playing for a contract, right? Because I think this season is a great example of some of these backup quarterbacks that are playing these final couple of weeks for them to show out. Because this season has really emphasized how important the backup quarterback position is going to be going forward for a lot of these teams. And we've seen that all throughout the season with guys that have been missing multiple weeks or being out for an extensive period of amount of time or for the rest of the season as a starting quarterback for respective teams. So I'm going to write down, I like this one, Tyrod Taylor, for his passing yards for this week. Any more for this game here, Steffi?
Really? I think, you know, Stafford's had four clean games. If you want to flirt with his interception prop, I'm not going to knock you for it, because we know Stafford loves to throw an interception. And four clean games, he's going to be throwing the ball a lot. I just know it's coming. He also owes me for the past couple weeks that I keep betting on it. But we have a plus 100 out there. So I like Stafford to probably end up throwing one there. You probably could get me with Waller's receptions too. Another one of Tyrod's guys. Outside of that, I think I'm going to stay away from Kyren Williams, which I know the Giants have not been, like, there's nothing impressive to say about the Giants defense, but again, it's kind of giving trap to me. You know, it's out there 94.5, depending on where you look. I saw FanDuel has like a 91.5, but I'm not sure what Underdog has. I can't see it there. What is it
for,
out there?
For who? I'm sorry?
Kyren Williams.
94.5?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, 94.5.
Yeah. Yeah,
I was actually going to go with his rushing attempts to go higher at 19.5.
Yeah, I like that a little bit more.
Yeah, because again, number one, this is success that he's had on the ground over the last several weeks, and he's had at least 20 rush attempts in four straight weeks for the Los Angeles Rams, and I think that's going to continue here. That number one, you're fighting for a playoff spot, but also that if you are ahead in this game, if you are the LA Rams, that you're going to want to run the football and do whatever you can to protect Matthew Stafford from, you know, getting injured. I think we saw that last week as well against the Saints, where it did take a little bit, because I do remember I was on the higher for Kyren Williams to go on his rush attempts. That one got there, I think, in the final couple minutes where they were trying to ice the game. So I think I'm going to go right back to it again. Anything lower than 20, I'm going to definitely get on the higher for Kyren Williams. So I'll put that in as an entry here for this game here. So let's do that. So, all right, just a recap. We will go with Jalen Hyatt, higher 21.5 receiving yards. Tyrod Taylor, higher 23.5 rushing yards. And then I will throw in there Kyren Williams, higher 19.5 rush attempts between this game between the Rams and the Giants. Steffi, before I let you go, any other favorite play you want to throw out, because we're going to put together one at the end of the episode. But before I let you go, do you have one that really sticks out to you as your favorite play of the week?
That is a good question. Eyeing out, so Mike Evans, no Lattimore. I think there's an angle to be had there. I also think Justin Jefferson getting a nice treat without Jair this week as well, which those are usually two matchups where people panic and everyone's all over Twitter. Now we kind of get two really nice matchups. Like both of these guys to really go over their numbers and, you know, be able to have a less stressful game than they normally have against these guys.
Love it. Mike Evans and Justin Jefferson, Jetta. I will write that down. And we'll save that for the end of the episode. All right, Steffi, before I let you get out of here, let our wonderful listeners and people know where they can find you.
Yeah, at Steffi Smalls across social media. The Steffi Smalls Show, Money's Moonoff, will be on at 3:30-ish to Eastern. I start streaming at 3, go about till 4. And yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. Good luck this week.
100%. Thank you so much for taking the time out. I will definitely get you on back for the PropCast before the season is over as we get into the playoffs. But I will see you in a little bit for your show. Have a great show, and we will talk to you very soon.
F.A.
Bye, Stephanie.
Oh, there he is. The Ladder King himself, host of the Bottom Lines Bombs podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. It's CJ Sullivan. CJ, what's going on, my man? How you doing?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for having me here. Glad to be a guest on the telethon you guys are having here. Is this for to raise awareness for TMJ, I imagine, here? We're trying to find a cure. Hopefully, with the props, we can find a cure for the lockjaw and the nerve damage that we got here. But great show. Been following along.
Hey, man, I think you're onto something, because last night, the props that we gave out for Thursday Night Football, mine went 2-0. So I woke up this morning feeling a little bit better.
Yes.
So there may be a little bit of correlation there about, props cashing in the cure for TMJ, because I'm definitely feeling a lot better today.
Winning always makes you feel better. That's for sure.
That is 100% correct, my friend. All right. You are taking us over to the game between the Denver Broncos and the Los Angeles Chargers. So let me get over to that matchup. But obviously the big news in this game is going to be what's his name? Russell Wilson, Mr. Unlimited.
Already, what's his name? Jeez.
Yeah, already.
How far from graces? Super Bowl winner to what's his name? I know. It's been a slap in the face, though, too. I love what I told him right after they beat the Chiefs. Probably his greatest win in Denver. Great win, but yeah, you're also not good. We also pay you way too much money. It's not your fault, but yeah, you get way too much money.
Good on you for being able to milk that much out of us, but we're done. We're good.
Shout out to you and your agent. Whoever got you to someone to sign this, amazing work, but yeah, this isn't going to work for us.
All right, CJ, let's get into this entry for the Chargers and the Denver Broncos game. Lead us off. Where do you want to go?
What a beautifully aesthetic game this is, too, by the way. The Chargers at Denver. I always love this game. I want like Dick Enberg and Merlin Olsen to call this like the old school. this Charger team is a sad bunch. You know, obviously they had the Rebel loss versus the Raiders, and they had the coach bounce back. And now they're going out there with no receiver. I mean, it's amazing the hodgepodge lineup they're going to have out there. They have probably the worst roster without Herbert and Keenan. I don't mind Easton Stick, but Gerald Everett, since Easton Stick has taken over, he's led the team in targets the last three games. I think he has 24 targets in the last three games, over 41 yards a game. I think his number is 40 and a half, which is a little high, but Gerald Everett's literally the only guy that he throws to.
Yeah.
So he's going to be carrying multiple in Denver against tight ends. I think the last five, they're second. They give up the second most receiving yards to the tight end position.
Yep.
951, which is fourth to the tight end. I was reading a different stat, but still 40 and a half. I got to go Gerald Everett. He's the only one left out there for Stick to throw to. I think that's one of my favorites in there. We'll start off with that one.
Yeah. This one was, ones I was on when they got absolutely curb stomped by the Raiders a few weeks back. All the reasons that you just mentioned there, right? Because number one, Keenan Allen is not going to be playing this game. I think Keenan Allen did play in that game, but even then,
he's not playing this one. Palmer's in a concussion protocol now too. He tossed his hat in the ring. Why not? He doesn't want to play. I mean, it's amazing that the bunch in there that I'll get to, like, well, go ahead, finish your point, but
I was just going to say that again, it's just very limited options here. And again, like you mentioned, the targets have been there for Everett as well, but yeah, I love this at 40 and a half. We'll go higher on that, but yeah, go ahead, finish your point.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say with that, and Eckler keeps going out there, but he keeps looking around like, where did everyone go? Kind of like David Spade's last year at Saturday Night Live when all his friends left and he was just there like doing a bastardized version of the Hollywood Minute. Like, where did Spade and Farley and Chris Rock go? Like, it's just him. And so he's just going out there and he kind of bails out. I don't mind his lower than 46 and a half rushing yards actually as well, because he doesn't hit it at all. And he looks like Monty Ball out there too. Like, he just not look like the Austin Eckler that we signed up for. That's for sure. It's kind of like the online version. Like when you order it off Amazon, you get the, well, what is this? This is not what the picture looked like. So I don't mind tossing that in there. But when it does come to rushing, I do like Easton Stick, 19 and a half. And we all know he does run. The first game, we kind of got gypped out of it. But then that Buffalo game, we kind of saw more what he is. Those North Dakota running backs, whatever, when stuff gets going, they're going to run the ball. He likes to run the ball. He got that anytime touchdown in there. So 19.5 higher rushing. I think both quarterbacks are going to run the ball in this when you get those new games, but I'll take this Easton Stick just because out of necessity.
Yeah, 100%. You mentioned Eckler about him being the only one left. It reminds me of that last episode of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air where Will Smith is just standing there in the living room and just kind of looking around like, where the hell did everybody go? Right. And, you know, Austin Eckler's the only one left there. Anything else for this game you like here, CJ?
I do like Javonte Williams' combined rushing and receiving yards. He's got a high rushing number, but I like the combined. It's 75.5 because I do think Stidham's obviously his first start. I don't think he's that much of a downgrade from Russell Wilson. Peyton is going to want him to do well just to make himself look better. So I do see a lot of dump-offs to Javonte Williams. And Javonte will be able to run the ball, too, against this awful Charger defense. So yeah. I think he will hit his rushing, but I think the rushing and receiving is safer.
Yeah,
75.5.
Yeah, he was on one of my fantasy teams this season, and earlier in the season he wasn't performing very well, but I think he had an injury. Then he came back; he was looking really good for the Denver Broncos. So, yeah, I definitely can't get behind this. And again, like the point that you made, CJ, about this Chargers defense has just been absolutely putrid all season long. So, I think he should have a field day against this team in the Los Angeles Chargers. Anything else you'd like for this game?
It's Everett, Javonte, Stick, Eckler. I mean, there's not too much. There's the injury report's kind of deep, so there's not too much to pick from. Obviously, they're kind of got everything locked up. So, I mean, obviously, when Parham comes available too, I don't mind any of those Charger tight ends. But no, that's pretty much it. I'll see.
All right, Rod. Anything else you'd like for this game between the Chargers and the Broncos?
Well, it sucks because Cortland Sutton touchdown would have been a perfect one to get there, right?
Yeah. But
unfortunately, that's not going to happen. So I don't know. I think CJ got everything that we could get out of that one. This game's going to be not fun. Not fun.
I will ask. I think Stidham's passing yards is 205, which could be high, it could be low, but I do think there's something to that narrative where Sean Payton's really going to want to push it, where this is how my system works. This was with him. Russell was the problem, you know, because one thing Sean Payton doesn't like doing is taking the blame for anything that he does wrong. So he likes passing the buck off. And so I can see that. I can see him peeping over just out of sheer volume. And this is the defense to do it, too. This is going to be, I like Denver in this game anyway. I think it's a good get right spot for them. But I can see Stidham getting over to him. Higher, I'm sorry, for the lawyers involved here at Underdog, higher than 205.5.
That was the one I was going to throw in here as well for Jared Simmons. You nailed it, of what Sean Payton is probably going to want to do, saying that, hey, Russell Wilson's the problem, that, you know, let's push a little bit with Jared Simmons and, you know, put him out there. And you know, he could definitely get higher on this projection of 205.5 against his future Chargers defense. So we'll put that in as an entry here. This is our entry with the most, entries in it. So we'll put a $10 entry in here for this game. And that is going to get a return of $200 if it does come into fruition for us. And I think it will, because CJ is the man. So we will recap it here. We're going to go Gerald Everett, higher 40.5 receiving yards. Austin Eckler, lower 46.5 rushing yards. Easton Stick, higher 19.5 rushing yards. Javonte Williams, higher 75.5 rushing and receiving yards combined. And then Jared Stidham, the new starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos, to go higher 205.5 passing yards in this game against the LA Chargers. And that is it. CJ, before I let you get out of here, outside of this game, do you have a favorite play for this NFL Week 17 Sunday card?
I have a lot of plays there. Well, did they put up Zamir White numbers yet? Or are they still waiting on Josh Jacobs to officially get out of there?
Let's see.
They didn't lock him up.
No Zamir White yet.
But I do like his rushing attempts when they do push that up, whatever that is higher. I mean, if anything, Pierce has shown that he likes to run the ball, and he's got average over 20 carries a game since Pierce has become the coach. I think they found something here with Zamir White, at least. And I love these backs in the second half of the season that have these fresh legs, and they feed them. They're fantasy playoff kings, those kind of guys, you know. And Zamir White is just, he fits the bill and all of that. So I like Zamir White and whatever his yards is too. And the Colts are absolutely putrid against stopping the run. So I think Zamir White has a big day for the Raiders.
Love it. CJ, before I let you get out of here, let our listeners know where they can find you, my friend.
Sure. Well, I do host the Bottom Line Bombs podcast on SGPN. It's live every Monday and Thursday at noon Pacific. Subscribe to that, to the YouTube and all that. Part of the C block that I go to. By the way, am I the first one to have a five-teamer here on Underdog?
You are. That puts you up to the A block.
That's what you get with the bombs. That's what I don't understand. I mean, if they're going to have the empty spots, how do you not fill them? That's what I don't understand. Like, why five? Because they don't offer eight. That's why five, you know? You just fill them up. Jesus. Other than that, you can follow me on the socials. Instagram at CJ Sullivan was taken. Not like Liam Neeson, the word CJ Sullivan was taken. And on X at CJ Sullivan _. But that's about it. Bottom Line Bombs host. I'm the Beck Detective. The new shirt just came out.
Yes.
Yeah, get that at the merch store, the man in the box. But the Bet Detective is the newest one they came out with. I sniff out the bad lines.
There we go.
Joke.
And you're also going to be on VSiN tonight, yeah, as usual, right?
I will be on VSiN tonight, dude, bringing the ladder chatter. I'm not saying people have copied my style, but you can't spell leader without ladder. Well, you probably can, but you need an E or something. But the point is, I will be on VSiN tonight, Vegas, with Sean and Kramer with the ladder chatter.
Trademark pending for ladder chatter, because
lights up for the holidays. No, you can't see it's daylight, but whatever. You know, you
get there. We go.
We'll fix that in post.
There we go. Make sure to check out CJ on the Bottom Line Bombs podcast on the socials. CJ, thank you so much for taking the time out, and I will definitely get you back in the future, my friend.
Great, thanks, guys.
All right, have a good one.
All right.
All right, boys. So that was our rotation of wonderful guests, friends of the network, and obviously CJ, one of the hosts of the podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. So those were another three games that we just went through. We've gotten about an hour into this episode, guys, and we haven't even mentioned that two of our hosts on the podcast, their teams are facing off against each other this week. So we got to get to that game. So let's get to that game here between the San Francisco 49ers and the Washington Commanders. This is going to be an early start, obviously, for the San Francisco 49ers. I was going to say Giants, but San Francisco 49ers as they head to take on the Washington Commanders. Obviously, the Niners coming off of a tough loss last week, and Brock Purdy not having you know, his best game of the season. He did have four interceptions in that game. But if there was ever a team to go up against, at least the defense to go up against, for this offense to be on full display and Brock Purdy to be on full display, it is probably going to be against this Washington Commanders team. Chris, I will let you lead it off here, my friend. You have anything for this game between the 49ers and your Commandos?
Yeah, so you mentioned, you know, this is the, you're not going to find a better get right spot than coming off a game where you threw four interceptions and no touchdowns, which Brock Purdy did last week. I think you could take them a lot of different ways. I'll start by saying this. The Commanders are 0-5-1 against the spread at home this season. So, you know, while they may come out and play some inspiring football, it will be on the road, and it hasn't been at home throughout the 15 weeks that throughout the 16 weeks that they've played football throughout this season. So no surprise here. Brock Purdy over 39.5 longest pass completion here for Brock Purdy. Purdy has even last week against Baltimore, they lost that game, of course, but he threw a 58 yard pass against Baltimore. The week before, he threw a 41 yard pass against Arizona. The week before, he threw a 54 yard pass against Seattle. The week before, he threw a 48-yard pass against Philly. I can keep going, but the podcast will probably be too long. So four weeks, four straight, and then you get, you know, this Commanders defense. Boy. You know, this is the perfect situation for him to be able to bounce back. He faces a Commanders defense that's absolutely been completely disgusting, as we've been talking about throughout the weeks here now. Washington defense actually gave up a 62-yard pass completion from Stafford to Cooper Kupp just 2 weeks ago, a 78-yard pass from Tua to Tyreek Hill just 3 weeks ago. And I can go on and on and on that list as well, but that would also make the podcast too long. So we'll just go Brock Purdy over his 39.5 longest pass completion here against my Commanders in D.C. this week.
Yeah, a little bit of correlation here because the first one I wrote down for this week, and a lot of people that I've talked to who I talked about props throughout the NFL week, love Brock Purdy to bounce back in this spot. And I think this is probably my favorite one of the year is Brock Purdy to go higher on his passing yards of 266.5. And again, I think this is an opportunity that, you know, we'll see Kyle Shanahan press it a little bit here with Brock Purdy. I think also last week when he did throw those interceptions that he still had faith in Brock Purdy to come out and throw the football, even after interception after interception. So now going up against his team in the Washington Commanders, like we've talked about, I know the play that the Chris just mentioned there, that's something that I've talked about all season long early in the season, was obviously one that was getting to the window more times than not. So I'll start it here with Brock Purdy to go higher on his pass attempts, and I think very correlated with what Chris mentioned about his longest completion to go higher, 39.5. So I'll start off there. Rod, this is your team as well. Let's get into this game here. What do you got for this game?
So I'm going to go with Christian McCaffrey. I mean, I also like the Chase Young revenge narrative to get at least a half a sack, but let's go with CMC.
Or three, Rod.
Well, I mean, they're only giving us a half of a sack on this one. So I wish that we could ladder this on Underdog, but unfortunately we can't. So we'll take what we get. But I also like McCaffrey's rushing attempts. This is at 17.5. Obviously you can see they're on Underdog. So I'm going to take the higher then. Here's the thing about it, right? Last week, even in this loss, we saw him get 14 carries against Baltimore for 105 yards. But this is not the offense that we're used to seeing. I mean, he had 18 attempts against Arizona, 16, 17, 19, 21, 16. You want to talk about a get-right spot. Putting the ball in Christian McCaffrey's hands is going to go a long way in getting this team settled back again. So I think they went away from the run as much as they did last week. I feel like McCaffrey should have gotten a few more touches in that game, in the running game, to be precise, because he was ripping off 7.4 yards per carry. And unfortunately, it just, for whatever reason, the game got out of hand. But, you know, he was running the ball really well. So I think they just need to give him a few more touches. And all we need him to get is four more carries and equal what he did against the Cardinals a couple of weeks ago, if he wants to get there. So again, like I said, I do like his rushing attempts to at least get 18 on this one. So the higher 17.5. And, you know, honestly, too, the Niners have got pretty much their playoff on lock. I mean, it's going to take a lot for them to lose really a spot, right? I mean, they got to get the number one seed for sure. But I think you got to take it easy a little bit in this game, especially in a situation where they'll probably be up. So that means McCaffrey's probably going to get or that could mean that Jordan Mason comes in and gets some carries. But I think he's a beast. He stays out on the field no matter what the score is. So yeah, give me his rushing attempts higher than 17.5.
Love it. Again, I think this is going to be a game where I would not be shocked if we see the Niners put up 35-plus points, because I feel like there's going to just be some frustration that they will take out after what transpired last week against the Ravens. And, you know, what better way to do that than going up against one of the worst defenses in the league and just kind of get that sour taste out of your mouth and just kind of get back to winning football here. So, yeah, I do like the call here. I think it's going to be a big week for 49ers players to go higher on their projections here. I did like Terry McLaurin in this game with Jacoby Brissett. I think that is going to be the starting quarterback for this Washington Commanders team. But right now it is frozen for whatever reason, but that 53.5 receiving yards number is very, very conservative for Scary Terry in this game. So once that does pop back up, I will put that in as the entry here for the Washington Commanders and the Niners game here. Chris, anything else for this game that you like? Nope. All right,
man, I just stuck with Purdy. Bounce back to Purdy.
All right, let's go over to, we'll do a couple more games here. Let's go over to the Arizona Cardinals and the Philadelphia Eagles. This game is going to be played in Philly, 1 Eastern start. Obviously, a big game for the Eagles. They are coming off of winning their game last week and snapping that losing streak that they were on. And again, a team that's in control of the NFC East division here. And again, going up against an opponent here that is looking to be in the top five as far as picks goes for the next NFL draft. But again, this Arizona Cardinals team has been a little bit sneaky. They went into Pittsburgh a few weeks ago, got that victory there against the Steelers. So it's not like they're laying down, gentlemen, here. So we'll get into this game for the Cardinals and the Eagles. Chris, lead us off. Anything from the Eagles and the Cardinals game?
Yeah, I like DeAndre Swift in this spot. I think his rush attempts is the number that I like the most. Back-to-back weeks, he has at least 18 carries, and that was against the Giants and the Seahawks, two teams that aren't necessarily the greatest against the rush. And this team is also not the greatest at stopping the rush either. I'm looking at opponents running against Arizona's defense. 20 carries again for Khalil Herbert last week, 18 for CMC in week 15, 16 for Najee Harris in week 13 versus Pittsburgh, 16 for Kyron Williams in week 12, and 22 for Singletary in week 11, for Devin Singletary week 11 for your Houston Texans, you know. So on the season, yeah, Arizona's actually allowing the most rush attempts at 31.5 per game, and opponents are getting nearly 5 yards of carry, 4.7 on the ground, which is also bottom three. So I expect Philly to be able to, you know, jump out to a big lead here, maintain the run, and you know, this spread is massive, as you kind of alluded to, you know, with Arizona potentially trying to get one of the top picks in the draft. So them being double-digit favorites here as home favorites, I think we see a lot of running the ball, even if they go up. Philly has been, I think one of the things that's kind of helped them over the course of the last couple of weeks is, you know, just getting a little bit more balance and taking the ball out of Jalen Hurts' hands a little bit. So give me Swift to go over his 15.5 rush attempts. I thought this number was a tad bit too conservative, and I do expect it to probably tick up throughout the week.
Yeah, I mean, I think that when we talk about this rushing attack for the Philadelphia Eagles, that DeAndre Swift is at that forefront. I know there's been chatter about Kenneth Gainwell being involved and all that, but I just haven't seen that come into fruition yet. And again, DeAndre Swift has been that guy that's not only had a lot of success on the ground, but he's also been very involved in the passing game as well. And again, when we talk about the Philadelphia Eagles team, in my mind, it's still a team that likes to run the football first before they like passing it, obviously, with DeAndre Swift and Jalen Hurts back there. Jalen Hurts, maybe not as much as he has done in the past, but when the opportunities are there for Jalen Hurts, he definitely does take off. But in a game with a massive spread, and if they do get out to a, you know, 2-touchdown lead and they need to start milking the clock here, that's where those rush attempts start adding up for these type of running backs. So definitely do love the rush attempts to go higher for DeAndre Swift here. Rod, what do you like for this game between the Cardinals and the Eagles?
All right, so I'm looking at Devonta Smith. His receiving yards are set at 56.5. Give me the higher on this one. 56.5 feels a little low, given that the only time that he's not reached this within the last seven games was against Seattle a couple of weeks ago. He had 79 against the Giants, 73 against the Cowboys, 96 against the Niners, 106 against the Buffalo, 99 against the Chiefs. Even then, you know, you had 51 against Dallas, but 99 the week before. So Devonta Smith is starting. I mean, now granted, it's been AJ Brown, it's been Dallas Goedert as far as targets are concerned the last couple of weeks, but still Devonta Smith seems to be that guy that when Jalen Hurts gets in trouble and AJ Brown is quadruple covered, Devonta Smith seems to find a way to get in there and catch it. So he had 36 yards on his longest reception a couple of weeks ago, 30 a couple of weeks ago. So he definitely could catch him in chunks as well. So 56.5 rather seems rather low. I know that Arizona has been tough against receivers as of late. And for the Bears, I mean, the receivers only caught 23 yards worth of passes against them, 110 combined yards between Debo, Ayuk, and Juwan Jennings a few weeks back. So, but they have been able to be exploited in games previous to that. So it'll be kind of tough, I think, for the Eagles, but I think they need this game and they need all their weapons to fire to be able to head into the playoffs in the right direction. So give me Devonta Smith higher than 56.5 receiving yards.
Yeah, it almost seems like that the amount of attention that AJ Brown was getting earlier in the season because he was just putting up monstrous numbers for a stretch there that Devonta Smith was kind of forgotten about. But I mean, I think when we talk about a downfield threat. I think that Devontae Smith is that guy, because you just take a look at some of his longest receptions on the season. They've been in the range of 30 plus yards. And I think this just takes for a guy like Devontae Smith, it only takes about 4 to 5 catches for him to get over or go higher on this projection of the number currently sitting at 56.5. And again, in a game where I think our Cardinals defense has, there's no secret that it has not been very good this season, at least their secondary, I think this is an opportunity for Devontae Smith to have a big day against this Cardinals secondary. I'll throw one in here. I'm going to go with the mayor of Munchkinland, Kyler Murray, to go higher on his rushing yards. And I think that the running game is not really going to have a lot of success in this game because the Eagles front seven has just been so good, and they've been one of the better rush defenses in the entire league this season. But when we talk about Kyler Murray and we talk about the quarterbacks that are mobile and like to scramble, I think that, you know, Kyler Murray is in that, definitely in that conversation. When we talk about guys like Lamar Jackson, you know, Jalen Hurts is in that conversation, Josh Allen, Kyler Murray sometimes forgotten about. So you kind of take a look at what he's done this season, at least rushing the football, since he did return from the injury that he suffered last season with the ACL. In that very first game, he started running the football, and you know, I'm trying to pull up the numbers here as far as what he did on the ground here against the opposition. So in that game where he returned against the Falcons, 33 rushing yards on 6 attempts, 51 rushing yards against the Texans, didn't do much against a Rams, who only had 2, but 9 attempts for 20 yards against the Steelers. And then the last 2 weeks against the Niners, he had 6 attempts for 49 yards. And then last week against the Bears, 5 attempts for 32 yards. So I think that continues here for Kyler Murray in this game to get higher on his rushing yards here. So I'll throw that in for the Cardinals side here. So we'll put that in as an entry here for this game between the Cardinals and the Eagles. We'll go DeAndre Swift higher, 15.5 rush attempts. Devontae Smith higher, 56.5 rushing yards. And then Kyler Murray higher, 27.5 rushing yards. That $10 entry will get you a return of $60 again, on Underdog Fantasy. Again, if you haven't already signed up with Underdog Fantasy, make sure you do so. Make sure you use that promo code SGPN. And you will get a first deposit bonus of up to $100 courtesy of Underdog Fantasy. Guys, let's do one last game before we wrap it up here for this podcast. We've been going about well over an hour here, close to an hour and a half almost. So we'll do one more game here for the Sunday action, and then we will call it a episode here. Let's go to one of these games in the later slates. I know... why don't we do the Chiefs and the Bengals game? I think that's going to be one of the more intriguing matchups for both teams, actually. So we'll do Bengals and Chiefs to wrap up this Underdog Fantasy episode here. Chris, lead us off, man. Anything for this game between the Bengals and the Chiefs?
Yeah, it's chalky, and I think Minty mentioned it before she left, but I know she talked about Travis Kelce receptions over. I'm on his receiving yards over. I think the number is a little bit conservative as well, just because he has had back-to-back, you know, pretty bad weeks. 63.5 is, I think, the number. Is that what we see it at, Minar? 60.
We got a better number at 62.5 here.
Yeah, so over 62.5 is what I like. So I'm looking at this isn't like just because Travis Kelce is like, you know, the best tight end we've seen in a while, but it's also like matchup-wise. The Bengals have allowed 1,023 receiving yards to the tight end position this season. If you're keeping up with numbers, that's the most, if you're keeping track. So, you know, you look at Kelce back-to-back pretty subpar weeks where he's going under this projection. But before that, he did have 3 games in a row where he went over this projection as well. I looked at the targets, 121 targets against this Bengals defense. That's actually the 4th most as well against the tight end. So, I mean, eventually we got to think that they're going to be able to, you know, Maybe the Chiefs, it just isn't their year. I know everybody was pretty high on them, but if they're going to go down, it will be guns blazing, Patrick Mahomes to Travis Kelce. So let's take Travis Kelce over his 63.5 passing of receiving yards in this spot. Probably my favorite play on the week as well, even though.
Yeah, I love it. Again, I don't remember the last time we have seen Travis Kelce's projection be this low of 62.5 receiving yards. But again, this is we talk about buy low situations. I think this is the opportunity, especially of what transpired last week and the frustrations they had really on the offensive side of the football did the Kansas City Chiefs. So I think that Patrick Mahomes will definitely be looking for his guy in this game. And again, Cincinnati Bengals have struggled against the tight end position. So I think it's an opportunity for Travis Kelce to have a big week, racking up the yards here. So do like the higher 62.5 receiving yards here for Mr. Travis Kelce. Rod, Bengals, Chiefs, what do you got?
Yeah, so that was mine, and I definitely co-sign on you. I mean, you've had guys like Hockenson go ham on him, Evan Ingram, Pat Freiermuth. So, yeah, Kelsey's going to bounce back in a big way. I wanted to take the lower than on this one, but I was like, nah, because then I feel bullied into taking it, so I won't. But here's what I will take. I'll take the higher than Rashee Rice, 64.5 receiving yards. If we think that they're going to need to, because Rashee Rice seems to be about the only guy outside of Travis Kelce that Patrick Mahomes can trust anymore. He had 12 targets last week, which led the team in that loss. He had the most targets. He had 9 targets in week 15, which led the team. He had the second most targets in week 14 to Travis Kelce. In fact, he was tied with 10 apiece at that. So Rashee Rice has become the guy, you know, led the targets in week 13. He's just steadily been the only receiver that that Mahomes can trust. So I like this, and it maybe even his receptions, but I think his receiving yards will be it, because I think maybe he breaks a couple of big ones on his receptions. It doesn't go higher than his receptions, but I think higher than his 62.5. Last week, he had 57 yards in that tough game in Las Vegas, but 91 before that, 72, 64, 107. So he's had several weeks there from the first Vegas game that he's done very well for himself. And I think 64.5 or 62.5 rather, seems like a doable number for Rashee Rice this week.
Yeah, I think it's obviously number one, Travis Kelce, and the next guy has been Rashee Rice. And like you mentioned, that he's been more and more involved for this passing attack for the Kansas City Chiefs, just because Patrick Mahomes really doesn't have much of another choice, right? Like, can you trust Kadarius Toney? Can you trust some of these other guys that's been in this Kansas City Chiefs passing attack, and it just hasn't been there? So I think Rashee Rice definitely is the play here. So we'll add him in there as our entry here for this game. I'll make this one simple here, guys. I'm going to go Jake Brown.
Kadarius Toney just got ruled out as well. You know, he just got ruled out 20 minutes ago.
Ooh, there you go.
So that gives an opportunity now for Rashee Rice to get higher on this projection, and Travis Kelce as well. I think the targets will be there for both these guys for sure. Last one I'll add in here to wrap up this entry is going to be Jake Browning, 229.5 passing yards. And again, we saw the struggles that he did have last week in the game against the Pittsburgh Steelers, but he's had 320 plus passing yards in 3 of the last 4 weeks, and he's actually gone higher than his projection in 4 straight weeks. 275 or more passing yards in 4 straight weeks for Jake Browning. And I think that's going to continue this week against the Kansas City Chiefs. Again, if they are trailing in this game, and I do expect, obviously, the Chiefs to bounce back in this game. But I think that Jake Browning also, he's going to be still continuing to figure the football around. 37 pass attempts in 3 of the last 4 weeks, back-to-back weeks of 42 pass attempts. And again, if they are trailing in the game, they're going to have to throw the football here against the Kansas City Chiefs. So I thought this number was a little conservative for Jake Browning, 229.5 passing yards. I will take the higher on that to do our last entry here for the Sunday matchup. So we'll put that in as a play. So, all right, for our – oh, see, everything just got removed because of the, I guess, Kadarius Toney news, Toney news of him being out. So once those numbers adjust, we'll put that in for this game between the Chiefs and the Bengals. So we'll be on Rashee Rice higher on his receiving yards, Travis Kelce higher on his receiving yards, and Jake Browning higher on his passing yards of 229.5. All right, gentlemen, before we wrap up this episode, let's put in one entry of all of our favorite plays for this Sunday. So while Rod gives us his, I'm going to go ahead and put in our guests' favorite plays of this week. So Rod, lead us off, your favorite entry for this Underdog Fantasy NFL Week 17.
All right, so this is one we hadn't touched on yet, and this is the Tennessee-Houston game. I like Tajay Spears. His rushing number is set at 28.5. Please give me the higher than on that. Tajay Spears over the last few weeks, 9 carries, 40 yards, 9 carries, 30 yards, 7 carries, 29. That's probably the one, but 16 for 75. I understand and 1,000% know that Derrick Henry is the man here, but all of a sudden, here comes Tajay Spears reaching into that total and getting great work out of it and getting great production out of it. So I'm very high on the fact that I think Tajay Spears can get this done, you know, especially against Houston. I know that their defense has been solid this season, but I just think it's a matter of them being able to sort of split the workload between the two. And we've seen the pendulum kind of slip from Derrick Henry to Tajay Spears. I think at least, 30 yards for him on the day is quite doable.
I definitely agree with everything that you said there, that I think they started last week with Tajay Spears because I was on his rushing and receiving yards to go higher. Right now, Underdog does have it frozen. Maybe there was some news that came about for Tennessee here right now, but I do see it at 28.5 for his rushing yards. So I'm going to put that in the queue here once that does unfreeze. So we'll put you down. Tajay Spears, higher 28.5 rushing yards against the Houston Texans. Chris, your favorite play for this Underdog Fantasy entry we're going to put in for our favorite plays this week?
Man, it's so many, like kind of like what Rob was saying that we didn't get a chance to kind of hit on. I really like Chuba Hubbard to go under his 65.5 rushing yards here. That's the one under that I did kind of target. We didn't talk about Alvin Kamara. His over 30.5 receiving yards is something that I absolutely love as well. Let's see. If I had to pick between those two, I would probably go, let's go Chuba Hubbard under his 65.5 rushing yards here. So going against the grain just a tad bit, because Hubbard has been pretty good recently outside of that performance last week versus Green Bay, where he only rushed for 16 times and had 43 yards. He did have 3 straight games where he had at least 87 yards on 22 carries or better. However, this week he finds himself in a really bad situation against the rushing defense of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jaguars also smoked last week, so I think that they bounced back in this spot as well. They've actually only allowed 2 running backs since week 11 to eclipse 65 or more rushing yards. Hubbard's also kind of, for people who can't, you know, paying attention to the injury report, he's also dealing with a hamstring injury. So he's been limited in practice all throughout the majority of the week. And yesterday he was limited as well. So he couldn't be, there's possibility he's not even 100% and starts the game without even finishing it. So I like Chuba Hubbard to go under. I know, we're trying to avoid some unders here, Rob, but this is probably my favorite under in this spot here. You know, Chuba Hubbard to go under his 65.5, I think would be my best bet for the week.
Love it. I think mine is going to be Brock Purdy. I think this is a big bounce back week for Brock Star here in this game against the Commanders. And again, a lot of quarterbacks have had success this season against that defense. So I think it's a good bounce back spot for the offense of the Giants. The 49ers against the Commanders. So I will go Brock Purdy higher on that. I know we didn't get to all of the games here, guys, because we have probably been here for 3 or 4 hours. But let's rapid fire. I know you guys mentioned there's some that you absolutely love this week. Chris, why don't you rapid fire through the ones and some of the other ones that you did like for this NFL Week 17. I know you mentioned Kamara and Chuba Hubbard. Anyone else that you want to mention?
Yeah, but just talking a little bit about Alvin Kamara. So this dude has at least 31 receiving yards in 9 of the 12 games that he's played in so far this season, including the 33-yard game versus the Saints. Versus the Bucs when they played earlier this season. That was actually his first game playing, because we know he missed the first couple weeks. He was out. So you look at Tampa Bay's defense, they've actually been pretty elite against the rush, allowing just 3.9 yards per rush, 24 rushes per game, and 92 rushing yards per game. They're actually top 10 in all of those categories. So opposing offensive coordinators have had to kind of mix it up, and Alvin Kamara is the perfect, you know, running back to do that with. So we always talk about, you know, those running backs going under their rushing yards, but Alvin Kamara is like probably the greatest running back weapon that we've seen in, you know, quite some while with him being able to catch the ball out the backfield. So numbers to kind of go with that, at least 5 targets in 10 of his 12 games this season. So I do expect him to be a part of this offense. Some dump downs, some screens, some check downs, especially with that Bucks defense, putting a lot of pressure on the quarterback position this week. So Alvin Kamara was a big one. Chuba Hubbard, Travis Kelce, I mentioned. Gus Edwards talked about his over. And Swift, love him to go over this week. I mentioned him. And then Gardner Minshew was the other guy that I was looking for. Pass attempts over in this spot, just because the Raiders have actually started to look pretty formidable against the rush. So he's over. He went over last week in Atlanta, four of his last five. Outside of the Pittsburgh game, he's actually gone over the 31.5 pass attempts as well. I looked at quarterbacks that were facing the Las Vegas Raiders.
And, see, I'm not the only one that does that. Saying,
yeah, I do it as well. Enough. So they actually had last few weeks. Mahomes 44 pass attempts. Easton Stick 32 pass attempts, and five of the last seven quarterbacks have actually gone over the 31. Pass attempts dating back to week 10 as well. Minshew hasn't gone over, but he's attempted 37 against Atlanta, 39 against Cincinnati, 42 against Tennessee, and 41 against Tampa Bay. So I think he's in line to have to pass the ball a lot this week. So I like his pass attempts to go over 31.5 as well, and I'll leave it there.
Love it. All right, Rod, any ones else you want to mention?
Just one last one, if you can find it. I got the Carolina-Jacksonville game. Give me the Josh Allen defender type on Jacksonville to go higher than whatever sack. I mean, if it's a quarter, three quarters of a sack, if it's a half a sack, take it. If it's two record a sack, take it. I mean, obviously, at Josh Allen, we know how great he is. But the one thing he's got going for him is going against Bryce Young, who has been sacked a ton of times. Twice in the last game, three times, four times, four times, four times, seven times. And the person that's sacking the quarterback in Jacksonville is Josh Allen. So I definitely like his number. If you can get it at three quarters, fine. If you can get it at a half a sack, perfect. So take the higher then on that one.
Yep. And the one author out there before we wrap it up here, Chris Olave, higher on 70.5 receiving yards for him. I've mentioned this every week that at least one running, sorry, well, the at least the number one wide receivers have been getting more than 100 receiving yards against that Buccaneers pass defense, or lack thereof. And I think this is going to be a big week for Chris Olave. Last week, he had 9 receptions, 13 targets, 123 receiving yards. Three out of the last 4 weeks, he's had 110 or more receiving yards. If you want to go 4 out of the last 5 weeks, he's had a 90 or more receiving yards. So right now, that projection sits at 70.5. I think this is a great week for him to have another big week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So give me that for Chris Olave. 70.5, definitely love the higher on that. All right, gentlemen, 90 minutes is in the books for NFL Week 17. Rod, anything else we want to mention, my friend, before we get out of here?
I love it. I mean, honestly, I could have gone for the rest of the time, but I know that podcast listeners definitely have an out time. So thank you all for sticking with us for as long as you have. I mean, this has been a packed full episode. Great guests, Moonoff. So yeah, this has been a hell of a show. I've had a fun time.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of great guests on Friends of the Network. Obviously, also CJ, part of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, as he hosts the Bottom Line Bombs podcast for our network. He's always a great time as well. Chris, anything else you want to mention, my friend, before we get out of here?
Man, just echoing what Rod said, this was a great time. Great guests, you know, different format a little bit, and we got to run through a lot. So hopefully some of you guys were, you know, some of the listeners were, you know, already kind of, you know, maybe lean in towards some of the things that they've heard, and, you know, we've influenced them to, you know, like hit that button and submit that ticket, get to the window with it. So best of luck to everyone. Enjoy the slate of football that we have this week. And as always, bet responsibly. Happy New Year to everyone as well.
Yeah, 100%. This was a lot of fun to do this episode. Hopefully, maybe we'll do this some more in the future. But again, if you haven't already signed up with Underdog Fantasy, do so. You already have an account, you know, bully your family member, friends, loved ones, coworkers, whatever the case might be. But make sure you use our promo code SGPN. And if you do open an account, but now to the end of the year on Sunday, send us a screenshot. We'll get you hooked up with some merchandise and get you out some gift cards into and enter you into a special drawing for some from some prizes if you do sign up with underdogfantasy.com using that promo code SGPN. You can follow Rod on X at RJ Villagomez. You can follow Chris at Crispy Capping with two P's and two N's. You can follow me on X at SportsNerd824. We will talk to you guys next Friday because we do not have any more Thursday night football games. Tears. But we will talk to you next week for the last week of the NFL regular season. I think next week is going to be a really, really fun episode because this time of the year, I love betting on props because of those contract incentives. And we're going to dig those up for you guys, and we will go through a lot of them. Maybe it'll be a longer episode if we do find enough contract incentives and look at it and exploit it that way. But I appreciate everybody sticking with us to the end. Till then, good luck with your bets this weekend. Let's break these books off and let it ride.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.